This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
It's 12:03 on Monday afternoon, March 4th. Both a date and a suggestion. Good afternoon. Thanks for joining us on the Noon Business Hour. I'm Rob Hart. Now that the proposal for a White Sox stadium in the South Loop is out, it's time to follow the money. We'll cover that in our next segment. But right now, an investment portfolio rebalance this spring is as important as ever, especially as financial markets hover around all-time highs. We're joined by Shane Gornick, partner and certified financial planner, Forefront Financial Planning in Lyle. Find him online at preparemyretirement.com. Shane, thank you for joining us today. And who can benefit from a portfolio spring cleaning? And how far along in your savings journey would that make the most sense?
Rob, that's a great question. First of all, just about anyone should be able to benefit from it. The big thing is, what was investments evolve over time. And sometimes what was a great investment a few years ago might not be a great investment today. Also, with regard to what purpose you had for a particular investment, you want to begin with the end in mind. And with some of your investments, you may have reached the goal that you have for that investment. And if so, we want to make sure that we take that into consideration.
So basically, if your goal is saving for college and you have a soon-to-be high school graduate in the house, you may want to approach spring cleaning in one way. But if your goal is retirement, and that's still a couple of decades down the road, should you even do anything at this point in time?
I think it makes a lot of sense, Robin. That's a really good question. A lot of times we're told when the market's down, don't sell. You don't want to sell low. And when the market's high, you don't want to get out of your winners, so to speak. But that being said, whether an investment is up or down for the year, that doesn't necessarily mean it's a good investment or a bad investment. And you really do want to look under the hood, so to speak. If you're working with a financial advisor, you want to work with that person to make sure that how you're invested and how you thought was appropriate to invest a year ago or 2 years ago is still appropriate today.
What's a general rule of thumb, especially if we talk about this portfolio spring cleaning, at a time when equities are killing it? I mean, right now we have the Dow is above 39,000 points. The S&P is comfortably over 5,000. I'm sure you're getting a lot of clients walking into your office, and they are just flush on paper. And when things are going well, how do you approach spring cleaning versus a time when stocks are under stress?
That's a great question, Rob. I look at it using the phrase, all things shall pass. You know, when the market is good and it seems like it can't go wrong, that won't last forever. That shall pass. And when the market is down, that will pass as well. It won't be as bad as you think it will be. So when things do look really good, a lot of people think that you either keep an investment or get out of it altogether. And one of the things that we've been recommending to a lot of our clients is if there are investments that have done well, we don't want to get rid of those investments necessarily, especially if we think there's still room for them to run. But it might make sense to take a portion of that position and sell out of it so you can help kind of lock in some of the gains that you've made based on the market to date.
And then lastly, Shane, we often have the tax conversation at the end of the year, but if you're doing a spring clean out of your portfolio now, is there anything you should do now with next year's tax return in mind?
Great question. So things that you can do when looking at next year's tax return in mind, if you have a position, so how you are taxed on growth and investments that are outside of retirement accounts is heavily based on how long you've held the investment. So if you have an investment that you're selling out of and you've held it for for a year or longer, the taxation is more favorable for non-retirement investments when that happens. Also, many of the mutual funds out there have year-end capital gains distributions that occur, which can create taxation as well. So doing that near the beginning of the year so that you don't get blindsided at the end of the year can be a really attractive strategy.
Shane Gornick, partner and certified financial planner, Forefront Financial Planning in Lyle. Find him online, preparemyretirement.com. Thank you for joining us today.
This is the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
The White Sox proposed South Loop Stadium idea hit the media with a lot of hoopla and really nice-looking renderings, but now the reality of it being built is the story. We welcome in Bob Reed, business writer and contributor, Chicago Magazine. Bob, thank you for joining us today. And it seems like we have three stadium irons in the fire. One in Evanston with Northwestern is already taken care of. The demolition of Ryan Field is underway to build a new facility for Northwestern University entirely with private money. The Bears have a parcel of land in Arlington Heights and a big debate in the Northwest suburbs. And now the White Sox want to move 2 miles north of their current location, and they are seeing if what the state's appetite is for a $1 billion subsidy. And that's where the rubber meets the road, to use an old cliche.
It really does. And, you know, the big question here is how much in public subsidies or give backs, or however you want to call it, is the state going to be willing to provide, if any? And that's not a given yet. And you're absolutely right. You know, the only real signpost we have here is that Jerry Reinsdorf told Crane Chicago Business he's looking for $1.1 billion in public subsidies for the ballpark, plus another $900 million in related infrastructure work. You know, that's a pretty big ask. It's raised a lot of eyebrows, and it's raised a lot of concerns, not only in the state legislature, but in the communities as well, especially the ones that surround Guaranteed Rate Stadium.
Now, Bob, I had to say at the forefront here, I'm a White Sox fan. And when I saw the renderings of the ballpark in the 78, I mean, like everybody else, I mean, my eyes popped out of my head. It's really cool looking. And I'm trying to imagine seeing a game a decade from now in the South Loop at that facility. And it would be a great place to take in a game. But at the same time, at the cost of $1 billion to the taxpayers of the state of Illinois, that's not something that my fandom should impose on other people. But at the same time, publicly funded stadia is the reality from coast to coast. Where does this thing land? Especially, it seems like Atlanta is an example of public-private partnerships going right. I mean, Cobb County announcing recently that their new Braves Stadium facility is now profitable for the taxpayers of that municipality after several years of losing money. So there seems to be a roadmap for a successful public-private partnership that doesn't require a $1 billion subsidy.
Well, you got to be able to explain to the public what it is that you want to do. And I don't think that this project has come anywhere near doing that right now. Is this simply a ballpark for a rich owner, or is it truly an economic development project? And the economic development project end of this still hasn't been totally explained, at least not to the satisfaction of everyone who's raising questions. And, you know, you're absolutely right. There is a lot of public money and subsidies going into stadiums. But while Atlanta is on board, you know, they're having their problems, I guess, out in Oakland and in Las Vegas, because they don't quite know what to do if the Athletics move there or if they're going to move there. So there may be some steam out of that movement, and Chicago may be coming up late, at least the White Sox in that regard.
At the end of the day, is it possible that after all this debate about a $1 billion subsidy for the 78, that everyone just decides to develop the parking lots around Guaranteed Rate Field and turn that into the ballpark village at 35th and Shields?
I've heard from groups around it that that's one of the things they would really like to explore. The concern is that you're not going to be able to do it under the current ownership. So they're proposing, why not get a new owner for the White Sox who are willing to do that kind of redevelopment and open up the area to the kind of Wrigleyville experience that the Ricketts are already having. That's a long way from being answered, because there's a lot of things that go into whether the White Sox could be sold or would be sold. Should Jerry Reinsdorf decide to let go?
Bob Reed, business writer and contributor for Chicago Magazine, thank you for joining us today. Coming up next, how companies are monitoring what their workers are doing while on the job.
The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Workplace surveillance is expanding in a major way thanks to advancements in artificial intelligence technology. Joining us to discuss is Adam Levin, founder of Cyber Scout and host of the podcast What the Hack with Adam Levin, author of the book Swiped, based in Nashville. Adam, thank you for joining us today. Workplace surveillance of employees using technology is nothing new, Adam. I mean, there was a long time ago, I used to work in inside sales for a company, and at the end of every workday, they would log how many phone numbers you dialed and how long you were on the phone. And this was in 2005. So this is certainly nothing new, but the technology has evolved in the 19 years since.
Well, thanks for having me on, Rob. No question about it. I mean, we've all been there where the people that we work with and for have been sort of watching what we're doing to make sure we're doing the right thing. And in fact, we are doing what we're supposed to be doing. But at the same point, when you have a new technology like AI, and it to a lot of people, it's pretty terrifying. So the real question is not about what a new technology can be used for, but rather if it should be used, and if using it is going to create serious problems with employee management relationships relative to trust.
And right now, what are some of the most predominant ways in which employers monitor their employees' productivity or internet usage or just things along those lines?
Well, you know, they're looking at things like, especially the new AI technology, they're looking at things where it'll be anonymous until there are things that have been highlighted. And at that point, if there's an issue, it's then flagged to HR, IT, or legal department. And they'll be looking to see what people are doing, how long they're doing it, how they're communicating. Is there bullying going on, for instance, that the company should be aware of? Is there some sort of abusive conduct that's happening? So, I mean, that's what it's looking for. But the issue is that with AI, it's going to find it a lot faster. And when you're dealing with issues of privacy and security, that creates trust issues. And that creates a security problem that if someone breaks into the system, they're going to be able to much more quickly determine who's disgruntled, who might be willing to exfiltrate data, where the weak links are, and who has access to the company's most sensitive information, which will give them a target for people to go after.
And it also seems like if you are an employee and you are flagged for this just because the algorithm believes you are a risk and you haven't actually done anything, that's a lawsuit right there.
Okay, no question. And you feel like you're living in the middle of the movie Minority Report with the precogs. And the other issue, too, is the more that people feel that they are being eavesdropped and spied upon, the more likely it is that they're going to start to move their communications off company platforms quicker, which could pose problems in terms of security issues, phishing issues, and the like. So it's AI, it's here to stay, it's going to be very important, it's going to be very effective, but companies have to figure out a way to frame it properly and get their employees more comfortable with the fact that it's being there, and they should use it as something that supports them as opposed to something that's there to persecute them.
Adam Levin, founder of Cyber Scout, host of the podcast What the Hack with Adam Levin, author of the book Swiped in Nashville, Tennessee. Thank you for joining us today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Hey. This is Chicago's news, traffic, and weather station, News Radio 105.9. Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
12:30 in Chicago. Good afternoon. I'm Rob Hart. These are the top stories on News Radio WBBM. A person is being held in connection with a deadly shooting during a street gathering of teenagers over the weekend. The Supreme Court issues its ruling on the ballot removal of Donald Trump. The new CEO of Walgreens says the company is set for a review of its entire operation. Its stock picker Monday will get a pair of suggestions from an investing pro. WBBM Business. Markets are lower. The Dow is down 94 points. The NASDAQ is down 39, and the S&P 500 is down 2.25. We have 64 degrees right now under cloudy skies, going up to 74 today. It's 12:31, topping our news at the half hour. A person is in custody and a gun reportedly recovered after a deadly incident during a street gathering of young people in the South Loop over the weekend. Gunfire broke out around 8 o'clock Saturday night near Roosevelt and Canal. One person was killed. Peter Letsos is director of operations at the nearby White Palace Grill. He tells CBS2.
We have security guards here every night. We locked the doors for a couple hours and kept everybody out. There's only so much that we could do.
The dead teenager identified as 17-year-old Jeremy Smith. At least nine other people between the ages of 14 and 18 are charged with crimes, including disorderly conduct and assault. The Supreme Court has rejected an attempt to remove former President Trump from the Republican presidential primary ballot over the 14th Amendment insurrectionist clause. Here's CBS News legal correspondent Jan Crawford.
The court has decided unanimously that the Colorado Supreme Court was wrong, that Donald Trump cannot be disqualified as a presidential candidate.
The decision ends efforts in Illinois, Colorado, and Maine to kick Trump off the ballot because of his attempts to undo his 2020 election loss to Joe Biden. It's 12:32 as the noon business hour continues. Markets are trading lower today. Let's see what's moving Wall Street. We're joined by Jim Welsh, macro strategist and portfolio manager, MacroTides.com, based in San Diego. Jim, thank you for joining us today. Is this a case of investors taking a breather after another run-up last week?
Yeah, I think primarily that's what's going on. Trading is very quiet. Breath is actually modestly positive. We are seeing continued speculation in the semiconductor stocks, NVIDIA and Supermicrocomputer. But other than those two stocks in that sector, Rob, yeah, it's pretty quiet.
And then setting up the week ahead, this is Jobs Week, and we have the ADP survey and the government report on Friday morning. And rarely do the two reports agree with each other.
No, you're right to bring up this divergence between the numbers. And there's some people that point to the ADP number being actually more accurate. But, of course, it has diverged, as you noted, from the Labor Department. But the response rate on the Labor Department's questionnaires that go out every month, Rob, has dropped significantly from about 65% people responding to less than 40. So there's, the main thing that the Fed will be doing, Rob, is watching the trend. The January number was a big number, 350,000. The February number is going to be a lot closer to 200,000. And the Fed is just going to continue to look at the trend of that, the participation rate, and obviously the unemployment rate, which continues to be near a 50-year low. And those are the reasons why I have felt that the Fed wouldn't be cutting the funds rate six or seven times. I think they will continue to wait until they see more softening in the labor market before they cut rates.
And then we have two airlines walking away from the altar after the feds did not give their blessing to this particular merger. We're talking about JetBlue and Spirit. They're going their separate ways. Spirit has been in search of a partner just because they haven't been profitable since 2019. Will they look for a new suitor?
They will try, but I think it's going to be difficult, Rob, because the Federal Trade Commission has really made it a mission to shoot down any merger, pretty much, especially if it's of large firms merging together. And so that position isn't going to change between now and the election date. So I think, you know, Spirit is going to have a hard time. It can't merge with any other major airlines. So, you know, their future maybe is in doubt.
And then lastly, this is one of the long-term risks to the economy is the commercial real estate sector, which has really, they're trying to find a future in the wake of the COVID-19 pandemic, really changing the way we work. A lot of offices going from 5 days a week to 3 days a week, and a lot of businesses realizing that they don't need to lease all that space anymore, especially with so many workers at home for 2 days out of the week. And what does that do to the commercial real estate space going forward? A lot of leases are due and a lot of mortgages are due, and how does this impact the economy?
Well, I'm glad you're bringing that up. The March macro ties, which I just put together and sent out, Rob, goes into a deep dive and covers a lot of different factors. But the bottom line is the vacancy rate is now the highest in 40 years already. And we're not going to see a material change in terms of the number of employees going back to work. Plus, as more and more leases come due over the next 12 to 18 months, a lot of buildings have a valuation below the value of the loan. So when that loan comes due, those landlords are going to have to bring in money, and that's really where the rubber meets the road. And I think the net result is there's going to be more defaults, there'll be bank losses, and it's concentrated in small banks very significantly. So I think you're right. I think over the next 6 to 12 months, Rob, as more and more of the loans come due, it's going to prove problematic for the banking system, and then ultimately that has implications for the economy and financial markets.
Jim Welsh, macro strategist and portfolio manager, macrotides.com in San Diego. Thank you for joining us today. Coming up next, Walgreens is set for a comprehensive company-wide review of its operation.
Cashing in with conversation, the WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Deerfield-based Walgreens is announcing a comprehensive strategic review aiming to rejuvenate its entire operation following several years of disappointing results. Joining us with the details and what it could mean for you is Bruce Jabson, a healthcare writer for Forbes based in Chicago. Bruce, thanks for joining us today. And this is it's been a rather stressful time at Walgreens headquarters on Lake Cook Road in Deerfield.
Yeah, for sure. Walgreens has got a lot of problems they're trying to remedy, and they're trying to remedy, and they don't really have a lot of the assets that CVS has to right the ship. We can start off with the fact that, you know, all pharmacies, drugstores across the country, grocery stores have been trying to add more healthcare services, which is a good thing, and it's been lucrative. We know that most of us who were vaccinated during the pandemic might have gone to Jewel Osco or would have gone to a CVS or a Walgreens to get your vaccination. You went there to get your COVID test. That's all great. But they're trying to capitalize this on Walgreens by spending $8 billion on VillageMD, which is a company based in Chicago, to add doctor practices across the country. That is where they're having problems. The Walgreens CEO told me in January interview that the VillageMD needs to go on a diet. They didn't expand it too fast, and they can't fill their patient panels. That's essentially where a doctor has 2,000-3,000 patients, and they're not attracting those patients fast enough for Walgreens. And so then you don't have the revenue, you don't have the profits. And VillageMD is starting to close those very clinics that they just opened in the last couple of years because they're not making enough money, and Walgreens needs to get its stock up price. So this whole doctor-staffed clinic idea is definitely, there's a crack in that model. for Walgreens.
Is this simply a function of that patients are still a lot more comfortable with the idea of going to a doctor inside a hospital or healthcare facility, and they're not quite ready to go to the doctor at the same place where they can buy charcoal?
No, that's not the issue at all, really. The issue is the fact that there's a doctor shortage. So how are you, and this is going to be faced by CVS, Amazon, Walmart, all of them, there's just not enough physicians out there to staff these clinics. That's one thing. And they had said that like 5 years ago, they were going to open maybe 100 of these a year over five years. Well, that's great, but where are you going to get the doctors from? Are you going to hire them? Are you going to pay them more money? We have a labor shortage in this country. We have baby boomers, you know, that are leaving their jobs, but we don't have enough people behind them to fill the jobs. You know, we can't figure out immigration in this country. There's all that stuff with healthcare staffing is a huge problem. But Walgreens also has a problem with the fact that if you're CVS, you own Aetna. You own the nation's third largest health insurance company. You can incentivize those 25 million Aetna members into using the CVS drugstores. Walgreens can do that, but not as easily. They don't own a health insurance company. So there have been some strategy issues that Walgreens is having to remedy. You know, one of the things they are going to do is they own a specialty pharmacy, Shields Health System, that they spent several hundred million dollars on that a few years ago. That's a good thing. CVS, you go there for your pills and capsules, but increasingly drugs are more complicated, more specialized, so you need more a specialized pharmacy. So the new CEO sees that as one way to go. So, but this whole doctor-staffed clinic model, Village MD said they were closing their practices in Chicago. Kind of embarrassing, really, when the company you spend $8 billion on in your own backyard can't figure out how to effectively operate doctor-staffed clinics and so forth. And so they're having to close. So we'll see how that works out. Very risky strategy, but they're staying behind it in some regards and getting out of it in other ways.
Bruce Japsen, healthcare writer for Forbes based in Chicago, thank you for joining us today. Join us at this time tomorrow for Travel Tuesday, and still to come, our Monday Stock Picker.
Money conversation that pays a big dividend. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
It's Stock Picker Monday. Helping us out today is Chuck Carlson, CEO of Horizon Investment Services and publisher of the website UpsideStocks.com based in Hammond. Chuck, thank you for joining us today. And infrastructure is the theme of your two selections, one virtual, one in real life. And let's start with the virtual infrastructure business first.
That company is Sterling Infrastructure. The symbol is STRL. It trades for $112 a share. And as you said, Rob, they are involved in construction engineering of a lot of kind of hot areas right now: data centers, e-infrastructure, transportation infrastructure, and they even give you an option on residential building as well. The company's profits in the latest quarter just crushed the estimates, and earnings estimates for 2024 and 2025 have risen rather sharply in just the last 7 days. So it's a company with a lot of momentum. It's a stock with momentum as well, but I think as you see broadening out of this rally to include small and mid-cap stocks, Sterling fits really nicely in that theme. So that's Sterling Infrastructure, STRL, is a symbol, and it trades for $112 a share.
Now, if you ever find yourself at a railroad crossing, a freight train goes by, and then you see a train that has dozens of cars that are carrying armored Humvees, or maybe you will see a fire truck for a faraway fire department heading south on 294, that is related to your next selection.
That's right. That's Oshkosh, the symbol OSK. This stock trades, another stock that trades for $112 per share. And as you kind of implied, Oshkosh does a lot in terms of heavy equipment. They do concrete mixers. They do firefighting vehicles. I think they do refuse trucks. And they also do a lot of heavy equipment and transportation vehicles for the defense business as well. Earnings have just crushed estimates in the last four quarters. And you can buy the stock at just 10 times their 2024 earnings, and those earnings should be a record in 2024 and 2025. So again, a stock that it gives you a little bit of a defense play if somebody's looking for kind of defense-related stocks, and it also gives you a play on this the spending and growth and infrastructure in general. That's Oshkosh. OSK is the symbol, and it trades for $112 a share. And my firm and our clients own both Sterling and Oshkosh.
Chuck Carlson, CEO of Horizon Investment Services and publisher of the website UpsideStocks.com, based in Hammond. Thank you for joining us today. And his selections on this Stock Picker Monday: Sterling Infrastructure, STRL, and Oshkosh Corporation, OSK. If you missed any part of today's show, just go to our stream and skip back to the time you want. There's a pause and rewind function that works both online and with the Odyssey app.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.